Welcome. We are
Voice You.
Find your voice, celebrate and explore what it means to be heard. We're your hosts, Kate Faust
and Jesse Drifter Shapeshifter Nelson.
And we're here to hold conversations with folks from all backgrounds about their journey with authenticity and vulnerability on the quest for empowerment.
Oh, and they're going to be serenading us too. Tune in for laughter, beautiful truth, and heartfelt listening each week.
Welcome, welcome, beloveds, to Voice You. This is your girl, Kate. And I'm so excited about today's episode because it features a sister of mine, part of my coven, just a true blessing in my life, Ace de la Goza. She is a creative connector in all aspects of media and technology with relationships across the mediascape. She's an NBC Page alumni, a media consultant, film producer, writer, entertainment correspondent, and influencer. And as you're going to find out today, also a singer. She was trained in opera from a young age, and we're really excited to have her, sharing her voice today. So we're going to dig into how Ace de la Goza has found her voice, how she uses her voice, and how she uses her spidey senses to navigate this beautiful vibrational vortex we call the universe.
Yeah.
Give it up for Bill. Oh, you know what? You know what time it is?
I think I do.
Time for the
interview.
It's time to get to know you.
Get to know you.
Get to know you.
Interview.
That is.
Interview.
Every time, I feel like it just, I can't even imagine, like, how amazing is it going to be in, like, 6 months?
I mean, it's going to be at the point where we're going to need, like, a full chorale, like, written out setup. We're going to have, like, soprano, alto, tenor, bass. It's going to be, like, yeah, it's pretty much already Mozart ready, but it's only more so.
I'm going to put it out there into the universe. I would, like, I'm dreaming and like, a vibrationally feeling right now that one of our really talented listeners is going to make some kind of fucking, like, remix of the interview. Interview. Like, with, like,
interview.
That's what I'm feeling. I don't know. We'll see.
I want a dubstep remix. A trap dub remix.
You know. Also, I was talking with a friend recently about, like, death trap. That has to be a thing, right? Like,
it is
death
a thing.
Metal meets trap.
It's death trap. Yeah, death trap. That's actually a thing. Death metal. And then heaven trap.
What?
It's a thing. I'm so here for that. Heaven metal.
It's heaven metal. Like, they get the tune.
Heaven metal.
Yes. Yeah, the dark spaces of the internet, man.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I love that.
Listen. Heaven metal.
Yes.
Can I tell you guys, yesterday in my car, one of my favorite songs came on yesterday, and you can judge me. It goes like this. Exit light.
Yeah.
And tonight, take my hand. We're off to never. And the best part is when they pause and then he goes, woo. And I'm like, ugh.
So good.
I know that people wouldn't understand that I love that. But when I say that, there's 3 or 4 Metallica songs that just get me so juicy and wet. Same. That's one of them. What's yours?
That one, For Whom the Bell Tolls, also does it for me. And then the Mission Impossible 2 song also takes me there.
Yeah. See, I always say something and Jesse's always like I casually am like interested in something ridiculous and Jesse's like, oh no, I wrote the Wikipedia page for that actually. And this is why we're best friends. This is why he's spirit daddy. What are your thoughts?
I mean, it's definitely the reason. It's definitely the reason that we are family. And that's, you know, mommy, mommy, boss, and spirit daddy.
You guys are wonderful. Aww.
So we have with us today this goddess.
Hello.
Hello.
Who is using her amazing powers and lighting the way for so many people just with her online presence. But she does so much amazing work. And she's so kind of... She's infused in so many things that we're seeing and experiencing, and what she's going to be bringing forward in as she continues to go on this journey of destiny. It's only going to be more and more beautiful. But Ace, we got some questions for you, girl.
Let's do it. All right.
Here we go.
Throw them at me. I love questions. Yes.
So your journey is so interesting. And one of the things that I really love is you just kind of remind me of this unicorn. Just on your own path. And that's really how it feels.
Uh-huh.
So I wanted to ask, did you know that you always wanted to be in entertainment? Because your relationship to it is so unique.
Yeah, well, you see, growing up, I learned that what entertainment really does is it teaches us, right? And I had this insatiable feeling to nurture and teach people, but I wanted to teach people in a way that school doesn't teach, you know?
Yeah.
The education system, they did a great job. You know, they did what they could, right?
Having said that,
I'm giving y'all appreciation. It's funny, I wasn't a great student, right? But I had this strange talent that you couldn't find in school. But you could find it on testing. So when I was 12 years old, the state noticed I scored really high in mathematics in their standardized testing, so they paid for my ACT test when I was 12.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. My parents thought it was a joke. Because they thought it was a joke, I thought it was a joke. I was like, are you sure? Like, no. Like, I have, like, C's for grades. My friend, I'm not that smart. No way. Took the test, and I passed with high scores without studying.
Wow.
So, I've always had this ability to learn very fast, which caters into my background, right? But being in entertainment, it just, you know, it brings me to life. I love being around artists, and I love what they give to other people because it's soul rejuvenation when you express yourself, right?
Yeah.
Can you say that again?
Soul rejuvenation.
Soul rejuvenation when you express yourself.
Yeah, it really is. Because, like, everyone needs that nourishment for that soul. Like, you can't live without it, right? So I wanted
to... Some people do try, but...
They try, but then, like, they still feel empty and hollow. And then, even worse, hungry. Like, when you are deprived of something, it's like you're deprived of food for 2 weeks. What do? You become an animal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And we need it. And I wanted to enable that more, and I wanted to push a better culture for us. Because look where we're at, right? You know, there's a lot of shootings going on. There's, like, an entire mental health awareness movement that, you know, could have been prevented if we continue to sustain ourselves through art or embellishing that and making that a priority.
I know that that's really important to you, the awareness with mental health. I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Okay, so where should we start?
It's all up to you.
All right, so I am a suicide survivor. My first attempt was when I was 8 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. I didn't even know what it was until I came in with a doctor, and me and my mother, we talked about it. I saw a psychiatrist, and they were like, yeah, well, you're diagnosed with ADD and suicidal.
Wow.
And she, you know, we kept it from our family because there's a stigma on mental health, right?
Of course. But especially at a young age like that.
Yeah. So, like, we just kept it a secret until it started becoming a thing for everyone and they started noticing it. But what I noticed growing up, all my best friends were able to open up to me. They always felt like they were in a comforting space because, you know, me being there, I'll keep a secret for anyone. Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't judge.
Yeah.
So my Instagram, here's the fun part, right? When I started my Instagram, it was actually meant to do that. It was meant to send those messages to people. Like, every caption on there is a wisdom phrase to help you get through your day. Mm-hmm. And those wisdom phrases were what I picked up so I could do it myself. Wow. Yeah, right? Like, growing up, I've found all of them either from, like, Tumblr, Pinterest, books, and, like, I collected an entire archive. Put them with my photos, which, you know, like, they're striking, and, like, I owe that to the photographers. They were
You're
great.
You're beautiful, though. Let's say that. Let's say that as well.
Thank
no,
you.
No, but your Instagram does. It, like, lifts up my day. Oh, and, like, you know, I can tell, and you're always kind of posting, too, about that. I know that we don't think of how important Instagram is sometimes. We try to act like these certain things, like entertainment or Instagram, are trivial, but how much of our day do we spend on them? Like, however much of our day we spend sitting in school for kids, we spend just as much looking at our phone. So if you're, and for you to have the consciousness to say, like, oh yeah, kids are learning in school, people are learning in school, but they're also learning from everything they interact with.
Exactly.
I want to produce something that will teach them that their life is possible.
Exactly. Their dreams are possible. Their happiness is possible. You go on that Instagram and, like, don't get me wrong, I am smart.
Yeah, you are.
and I love algorithms. So I was actually testing the Instagram algorithm in the beginning to figure out when were the best times to send posts, when were the down times, when were the good times. How am I the first person on your feed when you follow me?
You are. I don't know how you do that shit.
Algorithm fun and practice. So I figured out the times and everything. I have a team now. I have an intern and a social media assistant who helped me, and I'm teaching them how to do it as well. And, like, I'm so excited. Like, they know it, they see it, and then they see the positive impact it's had. I've had people message me from Peru saying, like, you saved my life today.
Wow.
Like,
so beautiful.
What?
No, that's amazing. Yeah. And that's amazing. And that's part of using your voice.
Yeah.
You're literally using your online presence is your voice.
Yeah.
So many and there's so many ways to use your voice. I think people don't understand. And you know, we as singers and doing Voice You, part of what we try to do is say, like, there's so many ways to show up and use your voice.
Exactly.
And I love that you're taking the care and you're using your gifts to see, okay, like, how can I use my powers for good?
Yes.
To influence as many people.
Yes.
To love themselves and their lives and stay here. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's a very, very noble, beautiful thing. And
Thank you, for one,
I love seeing you pop up first in my feed. I'm like, yes, girl. Yes, Ace, you're looking good. You're giving us some wisdom.
Thank you. This is making me smile.
So
yes,
I really, really, really am grateful to you for that. That's so fabulous.
Oh, so welcome. Yeah. And that's, like, that's the one thing I remember growing up. Like, you just don't want to see people feel the same pain you do, right? Like, there has to be a way for that not to happen again, because you don't want to feel it and you don't want anyone else to feel it too. So that's kind of, like, that was my mission, was to make sure that people kind of, like, somehow can move forward.
And I think that's such an incredible art form, because it's one of those things, it's hard to explain to people who haven't necessarily gone that dark, gone to that depth, what that feels like until you're there. So I think it's really incredible that you've done such a great job of creating this space to speak to people, you know, from that space of, like, I'm on the other side. I know.
Yeah.
Like, I know.
Thank you. Yeah. And it's kind of funny, because when you look at the Instagram, you would never expect it, right?
Yeah.
I did it out of subtlety. So, like, coming from my entertainment background, I used to work at, like, the big companies, NBC Universal. I worked at SiriusXM, iHeartRadio, and then at CAA too. And what I learned was, like, you can't tell people what to do or else they won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
The irony.
The irony, right? So I found the art in subtlety. And I did the idea of, this image, not only will it be mesmerizing, but it has something that ties into it perfectly for somebody to be like, why does this make me feel good? I don't know why.
Yeah.
But it helps me. And I'm going to continue to follow it, because it continues to do that without you realizing that it's not necessarily subliminal or manipulative. It's purely like, here's a gift that I want you to take with ease and keep with ease.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh,
here you got so many quotable. Here's a gift I want you to take with
ease and then keep with ease.
And keep with ease.
And then you can practice with grace.
Oh, ease and grace, ease and grace, ease and grace, ease and grace. Yeah. Listen, that's what we're all about here.
Oh, I love it. Yes.
Ease and grace. There's so much to be said for that. Mm.
I love both.
Yes.
I practice both.
Yes.
So that kind of that sense of ease and grace and I think that kind of leads us into the sense of being led in terms of your path of entertainment and finding your voice in those different spaces. Mm-hmm. I want you to tell us a little bit more about that because you use the big word destiny, path of destiny.
Mm.
And I mean, we're very juicy for that. We want our listeners to walk in their destiny timelines. Mm-hmm. We're stepping into our destiny timelines and we're stepping firmly. I have written there, I walk firmly in faith on my destiny timeline.
Amazing.
So I want to know how this journey's been for you and how you've found your voice along the way.
All right. Okay. Yeah. So like, it's funny. I remember I was, you know, we're all taught like, this is what you should be. Right. And I was like, oh, okay. I'll be a teacher. Maybe. I don't know. Let's see. I go to St. John's University over in New York City. And honestly, I just didn't care about like what people wanted me to be or what the status quo was. I just didn't. I was like, nobody really knows that I'm this smart and it's fine. I don't want people to know. I wanted to hide, actually. Mm. Then I got to college and I didn't realize how powerful my voice really was. Yeah, I didn't. I had no clue. And then I started seeing like this communications class and like these internships and like my professor and my friends were telling me, hey, you're creative. Why don't you hang out with us a little bit more? Mm-hmm. I was such an introvert. I used to play video games. I didn't want to go to that. But they got me out and like it started fueling my soul. And I just started gravitating towards things without really thinking. I remember I saw the communications courses and I was like, I want to do that. That's shiny. Okay. And then, you know, six internships later, and then I go into another path. But at the same time, I had co-curriculars as well. I led the Glee Club at St. John's University, so I directed them.
Yes!
And then I also sang for Sweeney Todd. I was Joanna. Yeah, I was all yellow, like that blonde hair, like to even my shoes. I look like a canary. It was very, yeah. There's hidden videos. You can't see my face. I'm very happy you can't see my face, like from that performance. Yeah. Just like a full round. It was like I came from a hometown called Edison, New Jersey. Love the hometown. Not gonna lie, incredible, incredible, talented human beings in that town. But it was a bit, you know, restrictive in the sense of we felt oppressed for whatever reason. I can't really nail it now. If I reflect on it later, maybe. But it was to the point where I just felt so held back. And then when I was free, it was like a freaking launcher. I ended up doing 6 internships in college, from radio to TV to writing and journalism. I still write for the blog. It's called Celeb Secrets. My last interview was with Andy Serkis for Mowgli. Yeah. Andy Serkis is a phenomenal human being, by the way.
Wow.
Like, great guy. And I've been doing these interviews since I was 19, in radio, in journalism, in TV. And then I kept going with it, kept figuring out what I wanted to do. I moved to LA after I was an NBC page. Do you guys?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Big deal.
Yeah.
Big
the,
deal.
The NBC page program is literally the place where I could practice all of the skills that I had with great mentors. So.
That's like Jack from 30 Rock.
Yes. Yes. That's a real human. Jack, he is real.
Fuck yeah.
Kenneth is real.
Kenneth, that's his name.
Kenneth, yes.
His name's Kenneth.
Kenneth, yes. Kenneth, there's all...
You know. Jack is the name of the actor.
Oh, yeah.
But oh, my God. Yeah, Kenneth, that's Kenneth adorable.
Did that for you. I had the uniform and all. Like, I have an old Instagram with those pictures.
You're so cool. you're just cool. Points just went so up for me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so lit about this. Please tell me more.
Yeah, so, like, in the NBC PH program, I did a year, and I didn't know what I wanted to do, but something kept telling me, just keep working, right? Keep trying new things, and at the same time, I needed to make rent. So when you're an NBC page, you get paid like 12 an hour and then 18 with overtime. So I always tried to have an assignment where I would get paid overtime. Mm-hmm. I worked for corporate communications, so I understood PR at a corporate level. Then I also learned, like, I worked at Late Night with Seth Meyers as their audience key page. So I would bring in the audiences and be on the show every day to make sure that everything went well in the audience. Yeah, that was cool. I've been on I've worked on Fallon. I've worked on SNL. I also worked on like the entire cable portfolio of NBC Universal. So that's Oxygen, Bravo, you know, USA, Sci-Fi, all those big names.
Yes, yeah. Queen.
Yeah, yeah. They were training me to be this media mogul, like this just all-star media mogul. Took on the toughest assignments and just kept moving. But then it started taking me away from what I really wanted to do and I wanted to create, you know? So I moved here, went into TV development.
Ooh.
Yep. I worked at E Networks for about 8 months. I was at the age of 22, like learning the ropes from these two incredible women, like in the TV development background. Like one of them was the assistant to the head of Fox TV, and the other one was the head of the assistant to the head of all of cable entertainment for NBC.
That's amazing. I get the feeling there's not a ton of women in those positions either.
No.
You to be nurtured by two of them and you being this powerful woman yourself.
Yeah.
That really speaks to the future, and that's what I love to see that.
Yeah, and it was fun. I was so quiet then, and then I was so New York that when I came here, they were like, you're a little hard, a little too direct here. I don't know. you gotta be a little
That's
softer.
That's the East Coast thing. Yes, big time.
I remember moving here with that too. I could like photographically remember scaring people. Oh, oops.
Yeah, just take it back a bit. Yeah.
Oh, totally. I had the same experience. And I didn't understand sometimes in LA when people say things, they don't actually mean them, but they don't mean harm either.
Yeah, they just don't.
They're not lying to you, but they're like, oh yeah, I'll see you. Yeah, I'm totally gonna come to this thing. Oh, we should totally link up. And you're like, 3 months in, I was like, I'm never going to see that person again.
Oh, yeah.
We just had an amazing conversation. They were so sweet. They were so interested in what I was doing. I was so interested in what they were doing. We're totally following each other. We're never going to see each other again.
That's so interesting.
They might not even answer my text.
Wow.
And then I might get an invitation to like their album release party like 6 months from now. But we're basically strangers.
Yeah.
And in the beginning, I was like, why would they fucking, why would anybody say something? This is my East Coast. Why would you say something that you're not going to do?
Exactly, right? Like, follow your word.
Don't fucking talk to me at all. Like,
you know?
And I was like, it's not that deep. It's just a different flow out here. I prefer the West Coast flow.
Now I do. Took me a bit, but now I do.
No, I mean, and there's other things. Yeah, I experienced that too with people that they thought you're being mean when you're just saying the truth.
Yep.
Because they're not used to hearing it.
Yeah. And the way you say the truth can be very different.
Yeah.
I had to learn that. Just a little bit.
We're both Sagittarius, so we experience
that. Virgo right here.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Virgo moon, honey.
But I'm like at the end of August, so Virgo Leo. So I got that fire. I'm basically like lava queen over here.
Yes.
Like,
give
us
the lava.
Yes. Yeah, I create.
Hot lava.
Yeah. Hawaii and I get along very well.
Yes. So you wanted to be on this creative path. You had all the opportunities to be this mogul.
Yep.
But you said, I have something more I want to do. And now you're being nurtured by these incredible women in this creative path. What happened in that space?
So it was TV development. And like TV development, as much as like people believe that, you know, you're creative and then you're in business as well, it's the perfect crossover. It is. You basically project develop and you create a good show working with other people. The only thing is, I didn't realize how much politics was in it. And that threw me off because look at I'm a Filipino girl at the age of 22 from the East Coast. I got a job at E, and I'm also a tomboy. So it's just like it was a little strange, right? Mm-hmm. And I honestly believed that I was meant for it when I first got in because I had that instinct, and my boss loved it. She was like, "Wow, where the hell did that come from?" Mm-hmm. Like. And it was because I didn't come from the bubble of entertainment. I didn't come from the bubble of TV development or the agencies. I came straight from Edison, New Jersey, right? Got into the NBC Page program not through a referral, but purely by chance of getting an internship, working well on the internship, and then being seen by the program, then interviewing. Everything I've done has started amazing. With that. Yeah. Wow. Like, I didn't have those... I'm going to air quote connections because in my opinion, relationships are really what get you far.
Yes. No. And I think a lot of people in creative fields and probably a lot of our listeners feel really, and I think Jessica and I have probably felt this too. You do feel like, well, I don't have the connections because then you see certain people and you're like, well, they knew somebody, you know, because that's how it works too.
It does. It helps a lot.
It's and not like, the only thing, but that's a bit, you know, they knew somebody and I'm not mad at them because they knew somebody. It is what it is.
If you got it, you're fine.
But you're right. I like that you use the word relationships because being out here, especially on the way and being in the entertainment industry in general and our wing of it and doing what we do. Yeah. Like actually really genuinely relating, showing up, being present.
Yeah.
Knowing what's going on with people, supporting people, learning from them, all that. So you were building on these relationships.
Yeah, I was building on pure, like
your skill set.
And my skill set. That was another thing. It was just, I just wanted to refine myself. You know, there's this book called Mastery by Robert Greene.
Ooh, okay, we're going to write it down.
Mastery by Robert Greene, guys. It is such a phenomenal book. It teaches you basically what Michael Jordan knows. Like, you know, you go into the learning stage, then you go through the apprenticeship stage, then you become a master. Gives you the timeline, gives you what you need to focus on. Like, it's a fantastic book that I recommend to anybody who really has a drive for what they want to do in this world.
Love that.
It's incredible. And, like, I understood that I was going through my apprenticeship stage, you know? Like, I was learning how to practice with all my skills. I was learning how to own what I am, how I look, moving forward that way, you know? And I love as much as anything just to see people kind of grow in that space. And my mentors did too.
Wow.
So they kept training me because I was just a sponge. I was like, just teach me. I just want to do good for this world. Just teach me. And I don't want to break this. Let me go. Keep teaching me. And they did. I still have my mentor from like 103.5 KTU in New York City, who like that's a 3 million listener in the morning radio station, like such a great guy. And then my mentor at NBC Cable, he's on his own and he does his own type of like influencer / marketing. And like that man, we put on an entire cable upfront together. Like we did the logistics, we did it all. I used to finish his sentences. I still text him every day. Like all my mentors, I still stay in touch with and keep a good relationship with because it was built over the work we did together, the bond we had and how we had each other's backs. That's a real relationship. Connection, it's cool, you know somebody, they know you, that's nice. Like they send off your reputation, nice. But what really matters is somebody who knows you're gonna have their back and they're gonna have yours through the threshold of it all. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Love that.
Thank you. Yeah.
And I think I'm really glad that you bring that up because I think that's something that a lot of people struggle with is like this idea, because we have this idea of connections and utilizing connections and making the most of connections when really what we're seeking is, you know, sincere relationships and people who really believe in us.
Yes.
And really want to see us like fly.
Oh yeah. And like when you don't believe in yourself when you're young, which is, you know,
a lot of us.
Yeah. You know, just kind of like 95%. But the fact is, if you have a mentor who sees something in you and can hold that sight of you for you until you believe it. Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Those take hold.
That's what healing work is.
Yeah.
It's seeing somebody who's like, I'm hurting, I'm broken, I'm this.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing them and saying, no, you're not. Like, I already see you on the other side of this.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I did a lot of my own healing was I asked the person, I was like, who's this version of me on the other side of this? She's going to help guide me.
Yeah.
But it's so essential to have people in your circle that hold that vision of you.
Exactly.
That's over the thing, mm-hmm. that's flourishing, that's doing what they need to do, right? Yeah. And with a mentor specifically, they've already done that journey within themselves. They're in a different leg of it. So they yeah. have a really adept way of being able to clearly see that,
exactly.
you know, more than you can, because you just don't have the experience at that point, or yeah. the experience of your career path. But yes, like the best thing we can do for people in relationship, in work, in healing work, in our loving relationships,
mm-hmm.
is hold space for the highest version of them.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, and it's so sad, because like I see people, like, don't get me wrong, I wasn't, you know, the same cut from the same cloth as most people in entertainment, right? I really was not. I came from the hood. Like, I used to wear baby fat jeans. Like, that yes! that was a thing when I was 13.
P-H-A-T. Yeah. Okay. Pretty just, hot and just tempting. Don't answer, yeah.
And like, you know, but people saw the ability and like the heart that I had, that I wanted to take care of them through what they needed. And mm-hmm. I also had the same aligned mission that they had. They wanted to produce content. They wanted to make a difference. Mm-hmm. Didn't matter how tough it was going to be. It didn't matter if we screamed at each other. Like, what mattered was we got together, we did it, we made the best show we could. And then at the same time, we made the impact together. And another thing is, like, guys, if you're ever a mentee, just don't annoy your mentors. Like, just try really hard not to. You won't, like, because they're going to see that you care. But, like, be grateful for what they're trying to teach you. Because if you're not, they're not going to want to keep teaching you. And that's something we got to, people have to understand.
Showing gratitude means respect, first of all.
It does. It shows deep, you care.
Deep reverence and respect.
Yeah.
Reverence, too. I love that we're bringing this up as a mentee relationship. Maybe it's just that more and more people need to mentor each other.
Yeah.
Affirm each other and help each other along. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of people, maybe the relationships they have with their circle are not always with people that actually inspire them.
Yeah.
Not with, you know, and, you know, people that, if all you're doing is going out and drinking on the weekend with your friends.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not inspired by what they're doing, and even with people that you work with, even if this isn't the job that you know, love, you want to try and surround yourself with as many inspiring people as possible. And in that way, show each other what's possible.
Exactly. And if someone wants to take you on, like, mm-hmm. It's not coming from a higher preaching ground. Like, I'm taking you on because I want to give to you. No, it's like, I see something in you. I see what you can do. I know that you don't believe it right now, but try, man. Like, keep going. Like, you got it. I had this one mentee, right? He's amazing. Like, I saw it as soon as I heard his voice. I was like, you are aspiring to be something more than what most people want. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And he's hard on himself, and he you know, beats himself up. And I'm like, dude, you got this. You're fine. Like, yeah. A lot of people have been hard on each other, and a lot of like older parents and whatnot have been telling people, like, you're not good enough. So you start believing it, right? When somebody believes in you, like, breathe.
Yeah, take that in and know that, like, it brings them joy then to mentor you and help you. Exactly. Mentors don't do it. Like, I think too, I've related to the feeling of not feeling worthy of the help or the guidance that I've received.
Yeah.
Or feeling like it's an unfair exchange.
Yep.
But, you know, when I'm in the position to be able to help or mentor someone, that brings me great joy.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you're not annoying me.
It's not an unequal exchange.
Yeah.
It's equal. And somebody did that for them, you know, for sure.
Yeah, I've had people, like, tell me to my face, like, look, you do this, you do that, you don't have to keep doing all this work. And it's like, but I want to.
Mm-hmm. Yes! Yes! Oh, girl! Yeah. I just feel that fire burning in your soul, and I'm so lit right now. How are you feeling, Jesse?
I'm feeling super lit. If I seem kind of zen, I'm meeting Ace for the first time, so I'm just really taking in the experience that is Ace Delagosa. So, oh, yeah. Like, I'm just like, I'm very, being very present for it, and I'm really grateful to be getting to know you in this way.
Yeah.
So this is really magical. So I'm just riding this vibe. Also, can I say something really quick?
Yes.
So you shouted out Ease and Grace.
Yes.
And then we shouted out, Kate has these amazing post-its that are really affirming. One says, I walk firmly in faith on my destiny timeline, which we shouted out. And then directly next to that, it says, all that God desires from you flows to me with ease and grace.
Yeah.
I saw that and I was like, wait, I got to bring that back.
Oh, yes. I love that.
I love the post-its, not just to remind me of all the things I need to do, but to remind me of all the things that I am, and that in just breathing and just existing, I'm a part of this incredibly beautiful universe filled with amazing souls like you. And I can be in, I can choose to be in a state of grace. Yeah, when I do healing work with people, or even when I look at people when I'm performing and I look out in the audience and I see them have a moment in one of my songs where they're having a moment of grace, like I see the screwed up look on their face relax and I see this tenderness come over them and I'm like, oh, they're here with me.
Yeah, it's lovely.
It's, you know, as you're saying, that desire to create. Why do I do this? Because I want to. You know, why does anybody walk the creative path? It's not an easy one.
No.
But, you know, when Jesse, for me, I always just am like, I have to.
Yeah.
I have to. Like, there is, it's never been a question, do I do this or do I do something else? It's always been, this is me. Like, I got to do this.
This is me. Yeah, yes.
I'm here for this, and I'm willing to witness what that means.
Yeah.
To witness that change and grow and all the ways that I can share and create changing and growing. And I love that you also have this willingness to try all these different things.
Oh yeah.
I think the old paradigm of older generations and a third dimensional paradigm specifically is very like, I am this one thing.
Yep.
You know, for me it was, I am a musician. And me and Jesse were talking about this because now, you know, I do the podcast, I do healing work. I think there's like no limit to what I could do or experience in this lifetime.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were talking about the feeling of, and Jesse too, talking about the feeling of like, am I giving up one thing when I choose another? And I quoted Cardi B. I was like, I can get them both. I ain't got to choose.
Yeah. Yes, Cardi B.
We're she's like my spiritual guru.
She's great.
But, you know, but it is this, like, there's so many different avenues that you took.
Yeah.
And because you were willing to take them, because you weren't set in, I have to do this one thing.
No.
It has to be like this. It's just, I know I get this feeling of my soul being fed. I got to keep walking down this path.
Yep. Yep.
I know that creativity needs to be a part of it.
Yeah.
But I'm open and I'm available because, you know, what I love, I made a little meme of it last night. It's like, you know, I'm me saying, this isn't what I expected. And Source saying, I know it's better.
Right? Oh, it's better. So much better. Yeah. And like, we all have those dreams of being that kid when you're being like a singer when you're younger, or being a businesswoman. And like, but the thing is, we got five of those when we were kids. Like, we didn't just get one. It's and that's, you know, being true to being your inner child, right? Ooh. As you get older. It's so tough because, like, life is thrown at you. You become hard. And the true people that can keep that plasticity of being a child are the people that really create for this world.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I love that.
Thank you. Yeah. And, like, I might be an influencer and, like, an artist at the same time, but don't get me wrong. I'm still a businesswoman.
All that.
Listen, honey. Oh my gosh. Can we talk about that?
Yeah.
I want to know because you've balanced so many, because now you are working more in that position big time.
Yeah.
What is that adventure like, and how do you find your voice in that place? Because we're always told, especially as creatives, that business and creativity are at odds with each other. They're not this. They're not that. I refuse. And then there's this whole starving artist paradigm.
Yep.
No. Creative people, we came here to give something to the world.
Yep.
We deserve to receive.
Mm-hmm.
We deserve to be in a space
where that flow is not just we're giving everything out and getting nothing in return.
Exactly. You're just going to burn us out and we're going to die. You're not going to get more of that. Like, right. What's going on here?
But part of that is as a creative person, it's your responsibility to step up into that, yep, and not be afraid of that world. Yes. And know that, like, you can be empowered in every space because you're a fucking dazzling unicorn here on yeah, planet Earth. I'm yep, looking at Ace right now.
Hey, as it
so,
is. Yeah.
So please shed some light on that part of the journey because okay, I really, really fucking appreciate that. Mommy, yeah, mommy boss vibes in this bitch.
Yeah, hey. So, well, here's the digital world, the music world, it's all changing because of what the new technology, what's coming up, the new ideologies of it all, right?
Yeah.
And now is the time to invent how you can get money. Woo! People don't, like, it's like there's no more rule. There are rules, there's sanctions, there's people that are trying to, like, stop. You can't be stopped anymore because this is the new wave. Like, you can make money the way you want to be. You can set your price. Nobody else can. And if they try, you're just like, well, you like my music a little too much for me to give you just that, right? Like, there's an exchange here. It's like, you know your worth. You know how much you need to survive and continue to output. If somebody is going to give you less than that, they don't see your worth. But the world will, because we have the internet.
Yes!
Yeah. Oh. Trump card. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Listen. I just want to put a blessing on that. How's that making you feel, Jess?
I'm just so wet.
Yes.
Glitter and magic and moisture.
Yes.
I'm just really bathing right now. I'm bathing in this.
Yeah. He's bathing in the glitter, magic, and moisture. Sorry, we use a lot.
It's good. No, I love,
like,
it.
Our terminology goes from, like, I don't know, like a misty, like, precipitation to, like, a full-on flood.
Oh.
This is how we, yeah, we're drenched right now.
Oh, this no need to apologize. This is good. I love it.
All of our listeners understand this. Absolutely. And yeah, I think that's really important. Like, again, the idea for many of us, what we have to offer doesn't necessarily fit a older sort of model or mode of how things have to work.
It's not
but
that
there's
structure.
So many ways, like, you can take the reins on this, you can create this, you can find the people and the resources and things like that, like, yes, you can.
Yeah.
And you don't have to already have come from Hollywood.
No.
Okay, we have Ace Delagosa from Edison, New Jersey.
Yeah.
And she's running this shit. Okay. Yeah. She's running it and she's here to say, yes, we can do this.
Yes.
This world is here for us to experience, to manifest, to share, to create. Please tell us more. I'm so lit.
Oh yeah. So yes, I have my influencer side, I have my talent side, but I always knew I had two sides, right? Like two sides of a coin, you know, completes you. Hey.
Yes.
So yeah, you see the social media, you'll see me on podcasts, you'll hear me creating with my friends, but on the dark side of the moon, you know, like in the dark, that's when things really do start to build and, like, grow. So I'm building a media corporation. I have...
yes! drenched.
By the way, I forgot.
Overflowing.
Yeah, just gonna just drop that.
Let me just drop this little tidbit on you real quick.
Yeah. So I'm building a media corporation. I came from a background of news, entertainment news, and film and TV. So I have a film production company that I'm working with a partner. He is, like, absolutely astounding in logistics. So we're building it with a new infrastructure model, where people are fairly treated instead of what I've experienced throughout entertainment. I have a new international news outlet that I'm building with a partner from my NBC page, like, program, and both of us were in the same network. She was at CNN, MSNBC, and, like, we're creating a positive news outlet that focuses on instead of traumatizing the nation, we're finding out how people resolved problems across the entire globe.
Lord, thank you.
Yeah. And
oh,
I
just got a ray of hope for the future.
Yep. And I was talking to Neil Strauss. I don't know if you guys know him. He wrote the game, the success book to, like, picking up women. And then he realized, oh, that's not the culture I should have made. So he came out with a book called The Truth. And
So he did a pickup
artist success book. Yeah,
he's of, like, a pickup artist success book turned
like, oh my god, that was a mistake. Let me give
wow,
you a book called The Truth.
Beautiful.
That
that's
really
very okay. Neil Strauss. I love that because I love when people who go veer in the wrong direction have the grace and the boldness and the willingness to say I was wrong.
Yep.
Let me fix that. That's a lot harder than coming out strong and everything being right away. And so I admire that.
Right. And then going deeper. Like, he didn't just say, like, oh, I was wrong, I made up, like, this rule book for pickup artists. No, he was like, nah, I want to make a book about real relationships, about relationships from the gritty to the beginning to the time that I was a child with my mother. Like, wow. Yeah.
Take us to those depths, Neil.
Exactly. I'm seeing him again today. He's great. His best friend's, like, Orlando Bloom. He's, like, an awesome guy. But yeah, so I'm doing that, and then I'm also I already write for this entertainment news publication. It's called Celeb Secrets. Mm-hmm. They have the same, if not more, expanse of like red carpet access as to Variety or Deadline. Like, it's insane. And they're a millennial blog, no funding yet. Like, I'm trying to get them funding so that they can keep going. They have like they're incredible. And like, when I started writing for them, they started taking what I wrote and positively spinning it. Like, I was a philanthropy writer for them because I wanted to shed some light on how celebrities really do good things in this world.
They do. That's something I didn't know really until I moved here. With a lot of the some people that I work for and work with here in like Beverly Hills, they're actually, because, and I will admit, coming from the East Coast where I came from, there's this mentality that like people who have wealth, people who are celebrities, they're bad. And again, it comes from this idea that money is bad because it can be used in ways that are bad.
Yep.
And it has been, but that doesn't mean it has to be. And like, I've seen really wealthy people be incredibly graceful and generous. Not all of them. I'm not trying to act like everyone's a saint when they get access to certain things, but like, you're right. I wish people learned that, like, part of, oh, like, I have a dream to be this famous actress because I want that fame that they show me on those networks.
Yeah.
Well, but part of the reason why you might want to, like, look what else this amazing person's doing. They're giving back because they understand that when you have that much, it's your responsibility to give.
Exactly. And, you know, Shannon Doherty, George Hamilton, like, those, that was my first interview of 2017, right? And they were like, look, you got to give back. Like, it's not one thing just to be famous and look glamorous and just be in front of people and be their hero in that light. You have to actually show people, like, you create an impact, too, with what you do.
Well, you are definitely creating an impact
with
what you are creating and what you're bringing into the world. And I cannot wait to see how you blossom and bloom even more. Like, I might actually start watching the news for real. I had to stop. I had to stop because, like you're saying, like, I mean, I do, like, I check in to be aware of what's going on. And I know, like, my circle keeps me up to date on certain things. But yeah, I was like a news junkie for a while. I think a lot of us were after the election. Because you just feel like the bottom is going to fall out. But what happened was I realized, like, the stories, they don't change that much. They're always spun in a way that's very traumatizing. It's always about the awful stuff. They don't show you who's behind the scenes trying to fix things and how you might be able to support those people.
Exactly.
That's what I would like to know.
Yeah.
Okay. We know there's some fuck shit going on.
Mm-hmm.
Who's, isn't it that, Mr. Rogers quote, for every bad thing that happens, there's people on the front lines coming out to try and help. I want to know what they're doing, and I want to know if there's some way, shape, or form I can support them.
Exactly.
Or I could be that person.
Yeah, yeah.
How does that work? How can I, our news apparatus doesn't, in keeping us traumatized, that constant state of shock keeps you immobilized.
Yeah, and then you're paralyzed because you don't know that there's another option.
Yeah, and you're just like, and it feels like everything that's going on is so big and you feel so small in comparison.
Exactly.
And again, I think too, with entertainment, and I love that you're bringing this into it, I think we think of, like, I remember being, as a musician, you're told, like, you know, when musicians speak out about what they think about the world politically or spiritually or whatever, that they alienate people.
Mm-hmm.
People aren't going to want to engage in that. So there's this idea too, if you're in entertainment.
Yeah.
In any, probably any capacity, that, like, you should not speak about those things. I want to wonder what you think about that and how you've kind of been using your voice and how you want to use your voice in that regard.
In politics,
not just in politics, but how do you, maybe bridging the gap in, I don't want to call it politics. We're going to say consciousness.
Consciousness. Okay.
Bringing more consciousness, I guess. Yeah. That's what it seems like you're trying to do. Just some awareness. What you are doing and what you intend to do is what I'll say.
Yeah. Okay.
How does that play into you and your voice and the voice you want to bring to the things you do?
Okay. That's a great, excellent question. So growing up, I have three older sisters, 11, 13, and 15 years older than me. Mm-hmm. I am the only one born in the United States. My family's from the Philippines. They did the, you know, they did the immigration story of, I'm going to be here for 5 years in New York City while I can get the money and the visas to get my family to Canada, because it's faster for them to go to Canada to the United States from the Philippines to the United States. So my mother stayed working in New York City for 6 years to have that all come together. Yeah, and like that background, I understood the immigrant background. I understood the American-born background. I understood, like, you know, I joined other leadership programs when I was younger, like NYLC, which gave me the perspective of the Republicans and the Democrats. And my sister's an Air Force veteran. She did 20 years in the Air Force. My other sister, like, she traveled the world. And then my younger sister is like the, what do you call it? She is a housewife to four bouncing baby girls, like, yeah. And I grew up with their friends, like the Gen X kids. Like, they told me how to be, they taught me. I'm a little old for my age, I guess you can say. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, I'm actually 26 years old, guys. So
Hashtag goals.
Yeah but I've had older siblings and older mentors to really grow me.
You so much older in my mind. Not yeah. So much. Like, she looks great for her age.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
And you do.
Yeah.
You look great for your age.
Thank you, Mad. You guys did a great job. You know, I'm proactive. Yeah. Yes. But like, it really is to the point of, I've had all these eclectic perspectives kind of shape me when I grew older, and I know I can bridge that still. Like, mm-hmm. I've been able to bridge that type of environment at like CAA, where everyone spoke entertainment. Like, agent speak is very different than finance speak, right? Mm-hmm. But I was still able to do that at the age of 24. And then I was able to do that everywhere else, wherever I went. If I sat down at a table and I was the youngest person there, if I didn't know anybody, I was still used to being my sister's baby sister, but having to make those conversations, having to talk to anybody I could, because I still believe that everybody is a human.
Yeah.
Great. That's a great point.
Yep.
Great point.
Everyone is a human. Everyone has something they've suffered from. Everyone has something that they love, and they have something to live for, or they've saved so many people that they don't even know it, right? Mm-hmm. And like, we forget that. We forget that we're human and that we all have this potential. If you keep remembering that about everybody, doesn't matter what age, doesn't matter what cycle, like, there's a lot of blame being thrown around here and there across the generations, to the millennials, to me as an American born or an immigrant, or like all the falsities and the labels that don't make sense when you look at me, right? But what it really comes down to is, like, we all are working together for a happier life. Why aren't we doing it?
You said something just now that made me think of, so Lauryn Hill is really huge for for everyone, for all of us.
Jersey. Yes, lady.
Oh my gosh, right. Orange, right? South Orange.
Oh my gosh.
You're probably familiar with this then. Did you listen to her Unplugged?
No, I haven't.
Oh, in the early 2000s, what was it, 2002 maybe? She released like a double MTV Unplugged acoustic album, and it's incredible.
Amazing.
We reference it a lot. But she has this really amazing quote in there, because one of the things that makes it just as amazing is not the music, but like the interludes and like the talking she does with the crowds and all this wisdom and beauty and grace that she has to share. Wonderful. And there's one point where she says something along the lines of, I'm really trying to like say this right, but something along the lines of, there's a reason that there's a steering wheel on the car. Like, you're not supposed to drive into a wall. You're supposed to, you can say, oh, I was going the wrong way. Reverse.
Yeah.
And so I just, that really came to me when you were talking about how it's like, okay, guys, like, the first sign of trouble is not necessarily the time to bail.
Exactly. Like, yeah. And people have to give it time. Like, I know my learning curve is 4 months. Like, it takes me 4 months to learn anything, right? Some people don't give you those 4 months.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate, because, like, look how many things you can do if you give someone the right amount of time, the right amount of growth, and the proper understanding.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that we have to go back to, because I do think, you know, I know that there's these ways that millennials are thrown under the bus all the time. It's like, oh, instant gratification, and you want this right away, and blah, 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 blah. And whatever. All of that aside, I think we do need to remember the importance of that patience.
Oh yeah.
And investing in growing, you know, the flowers of consciousness and love and evolution.
Exactly. It's like everyone has this weird sense that we're all going to fail. And it's like, we aren't just, we don't have to, like,
we're so young still.
Yeah.
Too. Like, we ain't going nowhere.
Exactly. Exactly. There's a lot of us. There's a lot of millennials, guys. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of people you can train to do this stuff. Like, it's not that bad. Like,
yeah. No. Well, and I think too, like, many of us come from our previous generation being like, all this has to be figured out by this age or this thing. And I think that could be really damaging too. And so I hope when people listen to our podcast, and or when they access your work online and read your blog and see you doing interviews on the red carpet, they see like you're so young and you've already taken so many different paths.
Yeah.
And you have, I can only imagine even 6 months and a year from now, if we were to have this conversation again, what we'd be able to uncover. Mm-hmm. And same with me and Jesse, and same with all of our listeners. So divine timing. And I love that you use the comparison of a steering wheel. It's really interesting. I was listening to this morning because this guy was talking about manifestation and how that gets thrown around in a lot of spiritual circles. So if you don't manifest the thing you want, like, you did something bad. And when he talked about manifestation, then instead of coming into a spiritual awakening, we just come into a higher set of negotiations with the universe.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not really what we want. We don't want to be like in negotiations, because that's not how it works.
Yeah.
But so... And he used the image of a car, of like the universal forces, the vibrational forces, that's like the momentum of the car that's moving.
Mm.
And you don't get to choose the momentum all the time. Like, that's part of like what you're receiving in your divine plan. But you get to be at the steering wheel. So you get to lead along with the universe, and the universe is, here's a stop sign, here's a yield sign, here's a 65 miles per hour. The universe is giving you the roadmap, but you do have some free will in how you steer.
Exactly.
So, you know, when you're driving a car, you know, you're working with all these other universal forces. You're using the momentum that's there. That's not you. Mm-hmm. That's something that already exists with you, within you, without you, through you, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So manifestation stops being this negotiation, like, please, 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 am I good enough for this? Is this or that? And it's just, manifestation is just, it is. It's me.
Yeah.
Why do I do this work? I want to.
Mm-hmm.
I know it will manifest. It's not a question, because I'm here living and breathing. I'm a manifestation myself.
Yeah. And
of my soul's desire to have this expansive journey.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So like, so of course, like, it's inevitable. Just be with that timing.
Yep.
It's going to happen in its right timing.
Yeah.
You know, if the distance you want to go is 40 miles away, you're not going to get there in 10 minutes.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
You need to be okay. Like, it's not going to take 10 minutes. It's not an Acela train, homie. Like, just chill.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it could be for your protection. Like,
yes!
like the reason why it says 30 miles an hour or 35 miles an hour isn't because like it's trying to limit you. It's like, wait, no, there's some traffic up ahead. You don't want to touch that.
There's some swervy
like,
roads.
Yeah.
You don't want you to swerve off course. That's exactly right. Thank you for saying that. And I think that leads us into our final question. Jesse, would you like to ask our final question?
Let's do it.
So we love this question.
Oh.
So what does it mean for you to use your voice, and what does it mean for you to listen and be heard?
So for me to use my voice and listen to be heard. So it's funny, right? We all kind of come from different backgrounds. We all have a place in this world that we don't even know about yet.
Yeah.
And for me, everyone kept telling me what I should be, what I should do. What, like, you're great at this, you should be this. You're great at that, you should do this. You would fit this mold, you should do it. You would be incredible as like an all-star agent at a talent agency. You would be an incredible on-air host. You have the look, you have this, you have that. And I'm like, oh, that's great. Or better yet, like, you'd be a great finance executive. Like, okay. But what it really means to have your voice and use it is to say, no, as much as I love you and thank you so much for seeing the potential in me, it's look what makes me happy and look what doesn't. Can you keep seeing me that way? And can you keep seeing me the other way? Right? And then from there, it's, I'm going to express not just through my voice, not just being heard and seen, but through the way I'll make you feel. You'll see it and you'll feel it and you'll hear it, you know, through everything that I create. Wow. Great question. Great question.
Stewing in that. Wow. Yeah. So honoring someone, being reverent with them, not needing to put yourself onto the canvas that they're painting, letting them use all the colors they want to use, and just being in expectancy that whatever they're going to create is going to be beautiful because it's them.
Exactly. And they're going to honor you because they love you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm, we use so many great words today. Jess, you want to speak on that?
Oh, I mean, I just wanted to say something like, I like seeing like different numbers and I see them and, you know, it's way of guides, angels talking to us, giving us messages. And there was one that I received recently that was along the lines of like, you need to trust yourself and you need to choose and you can't let other people dictate your life for you.
Exactly.
And, yeah, that was just really ringing for me as you were saying that. Is at the end of the day, like, thank you, yeah, for the love and the support and the respect.
Yeah.
But I have to make this choice and I have to trust this choice for myself.
Yes, exactly.
So thank you for that.
Yeah, and thank you for, like, for everyone. Thank you for your experiences and protecting us and, like, helping us grow and just wanting the best for us and not really necessarily knowing our language, but understanding that, you know, we're going at our own path. You're there with us. We know that you're nervous. But at the same time, like, we'll do it. We have to do it. Yeah.
I know that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much, Ace.
Oh, thank you. This
was
incredible.
We really, really, really are so lit from this conversation. Yes. And we cannot wait to hear you sing.
Oh, my God.
Can you talk to us for a second? Tell us about this song and why you chose it.
So this song came out on my YouTube when it was only at like 300,000 views.
Okay.
And it was Jess Glynn and Ed Sheeran singing an acoustic cover of it. It's called Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And it just gets to the vulnerable, like, this is all I want.
Yes.
I don't want more than this. I just want this. Like, and it gets to the nuts and bolts of why we live and what I really want too. So that's why I really wanted to sing it and bring it to you guys.
Thank you so much for sharing that.
Thank you.
We're so excited. Let's do it.
Yes. I won't wear makeup on Thursday. I'm sick of covering up. I'm tired of feeling so broken. I'm tired of falling in love. Sometimes I'm shy and I'm anxious. Sometimes I'm down on my knees. Sometimes I try to embrace all my insecurities. So I won't wake up on Thursday. 'Cause who I am is enough. And there are many things that I can change so slightly. But why would I succumb to something so unlike me? I was always taught to just be myself. Don't change for anyone. I wanna laugh, I wanna cry. Don't want these tears inside my eyes, yeah. Don't wanna wake up and feel insecure. I wanna sing, I wanna dance. I wanna feel love inside my hands again. I just wanna feel beautiful. I just wanna feel beautiful. I'll wear my sweatpants on Thursday. and I'll drink gin from the can. I'll build my own independence. I don't always need a man. You know, sometimes I feel lonely, can do with the company. Oh, I get high when I'm down, but you know that's alright with me. It's nothing on Thursday. Sit alone and be. And there are many things that I can change so slightly, but why would I succumb to something so unlike me? I was always taught to just be myself. Don't change for anyone. I wanna love, don't wanna cry, don't want these tears inside my eyes. Yeah, don't wanna wake up and feel insecure. I wanna sing, I wanna dance, I wanna feel love inside my hands again. I just wanna feel beautiful. I just wanna feel beautiful. I just wanna feel beautiful. I won't wear makeup on Thursday, 'cause who I am is enough. I wanna love, I wanna cry, I don't want these tears inside my eyes. Yeah, don't wanna wake up and feel insecure. I wanna sing, I wanna dance, I wanna feel love inside my hands again. I just wanna feel beautiful. I just wanna feel beautiful. I just wanna feel beautiful.
So that was our show for today. Woo! Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you loved it. Remember to like, subscribe, leave some stars, leave some comments, show us some love, show hit us up love. On the social media.
Let us know what's good.
Hit up the links that we got that we're serving you in the episode description with the Spotify playlist and everything like that. And
yeah, just... stay tuned. Stay tuned for more.
Stay tuned for more. Stay nice and moist. Till next time. Moist. So moist.
Love you.
Until next time.
Until next time.
It's time for the outro
music.
Outro
music.
Outro
music. Outro music. Outro music.
Outro music.